The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the one we put our faith and our trust in. Lord, you are the one who called us by our names and put us in the kingdom and washed us in the blood and set our feet on a solid ground. And we thank you, Lord. And as we study about heaven today, let this message resonate in the hearts of all who hear it. And let them be encouraged, and those who know you and those who don't, that they will realize that they need you so desperately in their lives. Bless our time together. Take care of those that are sick. Heal them. Make them well. Encourage them, Lord Jesus. And I know many will be watching who are not doing well. They'll be watching this morning. So bless them, Father. And we pray together in Jesus' wonderful name. And all the kids said, amen, amen. All right, James, you are the music man.
right, can I get an amen all across the field? Amen! He is the worthy Lamb that was slain that we might be set free. He is the amazing King who conquered the grave that we might be resurrected with Him, that we might be pulled out of the grave with Him. He has given us such great reason to sing, for there is a tomb in Jerusalem that once held the body of a dead king, but no longer, for our King is risen. Amen!
In this time of desperation, and all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation we believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. Do you believe? So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. And in our weakness and temptations, we believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's giving us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death.
Good Father, it's Like a
Lord Jesus. Yes. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We know that your coming is imminent. You said that you don't count time like we do. One day with you is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like a day. Well, Lord Jesus, we're ready. We have been washed by the blood. We have put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord. Father, you can come anytime you're ready, because we're ready, because of our faith and our trust in you. Lord, let your mercy be poured out. Let it touch every man, woman, boy, and girl, and that they might respond to your precious love, that they wouldn't leave this life without knowing you, that you wouldn't come and they wouldn't be ready. So if you came, they would die as soon as death. Lord, have mercy. Like Paul of old said, Lord, it'd be better for us if we were with you. Had we gained, but to live is Christ. So Lord, if you want to delay your coming for a year or 1,000 years, so more people would come to know you, then we trust you and we believe in you and your divine plans. You said that you have plans for us, and so we submit to those divine plans. Let your will be done. Let your will be done. Let your will be done. Father, I think of those who are not here this morning because they're not doing well, for Bobby and Don. Lord, they need a touch from you. Sherry needs a touch from you, give them strength. Father, I pray for Roe, that the surgery he had on his neck would heal, and that his health would be restored. Father, I pray for this 30-year-old girl, a daughter of a lifelong friend of Aaron's, Lord, in the MD Anderson Hospital. Just getting pumped up with chemo and facing surgeries. And Lord, you are able to heal those that are sick. So Lord, we pray for this girl, that you might heal her, that you would make her well. Name's Mindy, Lord, just touch her. Father, we pray for Denise Riles. Is she still undergoing chemo? For her healing, for Annie, still undergoing chemo, for her healing. Lord, there's so many that need a divine touch from you. You said that there's healing at the cross, that Jesus was beaten with stripes for our healing. So Lord, we proclaim and claim that healing virtue on each of us. Those who are depressed, feeling low, ask you to lift us up. Help us to be built up on our most holy faith. Let us be able to feel that admonition to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, to rejoice. We know that your joy is our strength. So, Father, we look to you. Give us energy and strength. Let us be like the young lions who run, like the deer on hind feet on high places. Let us be there. Lord, you alone can give us the strength we need. So we look to you, and Father, encourage us by your holy faith, for we proclaim Jesus as Lord, even so in this place today. And we pray in Christ's name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I want to read something to you. Received a letter. I don't get a lot of letters. I can tell this person is not a young person because they're writing in script. The young kids can't write in script. I was talking to a guy at the firing range. He said 15-year-old kids come out and can't sign their name. They don't know how to do it. They don't know how to do it. They don't teach that in school, evidently. I don't know. Anyway, this letter is dated April 27th, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but enough of it for you to get a feel. Dear Pastor, your article in the Slidell Independent was right on time. How we need to get back to the old values. It is said that we today do not put God first in our lives. Our nation would be a better place for all if we did. And he says, closes out, would say, but also like to applaud you for all you are doing concerning the proposed casino in Slidell. We don't need it. God bless you and your church. May all churches grow and shine on that hill. Sincerely, Frank. That's a nice letter, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, really nice. And I appreciate Frank taking the time to write a letter. Takes a lot of energy to do that. And I just thought I'd show you, since the Slidell Independent was mentioned, I'll just show you the headlines here. All right, it says that P2E, that's the casino people, the opposition is growing, and it is growing. More and more people, the numbers are really, really, some significant people are really standing up against this thing. And the city council casino resolution is defeated.
Great.
Yes, we went to the city council meeting Tuesday, and they had a resolution before them to tell the Senate, the legislators in Baton Rouge, that Slidell was in favor of the casino and had some other things in it, but it was soundly defeated. And those of you who went, I appreciate you going. We had some big guns there. We had a guy there. His name is Hall, Dr. Hall. He's a graduate of the Naval Academy, Harvard, and Stanford, I believe. He's got more degrees than the old proverbial thermometer, as they say. And we had a lot of people, did a lot of preparation to be there and spoke. But very few of them made the newspaper or the television station. But you know who did? Camille did. She did. Camille was there, and she spoke her heart out, and everybody loved her. She got a big round of applause. I thought they were going to elect her mayor. I wasn't quite sure. She did such a great job in speaking from her heart about this issue, and everybody realized it was well spoken. So you can go on your computers, go to Channel 7, I believe it is, WGON, and you'll see her there. You see her on WDSU, and I believe it's on WWL, but I haven't looked at that. And you can read the newspaper, and you'll find Camille's name is in the newspaper. She did such a good job. I was so proud to know her. And I kept telling everybody, she goes to my church. She goes to my church. So, thank you, thank you. Speaking from your heart is a good thing. Tomorrow is a big day in Baton Rouge. We're leaving at the crack of dawn. We have to be up there at 9:30. The Senate Finance Committee is meeting to discuss the bill that's in front of them. It's called Senate Bill 213, and it's we need to defeat it. And there's a committee of, I think, 11 or 12 senators. So be in prayer tomorrow at 9:30 that we'll be victorious. And this is kind of a little bit crazy, but I wasn't planning on this. Senator Hewitt, who is actually the sponsor of this bill, and I like Senator Hewitt. I mean, I've said that publicly and privately. I really like her. She's a really wonderful woman. And we just don't agree on this issue. And she contacted me last night and asked me if I would stick around a couple hours to 2 o'clock and open the Senate in prayer. So I said, yeah, and I promised not to pray about Bill 213 in public. Well, I may do it, but quietly, you know, under my breath. But at any rate, I thought that was very nice of her to invite me, and it's an honor to do that. So that's tomorrow. It'll be a big day. If we win tomorrow, this could be the death knell for the gambling thing. If we lose, it's going to gain some traction. So there's still a bill in the House. Just like in Washington, D.C., there's a Senate and there's a House. But the experts believe that if it gets defeated in the Senate, that they'll drop the House bill. I don't know if that's true. I have no idea. But I hope it's true because I'm tired of driving to Baton Rouge. All right, it's just a lot of stress, a lot of strain, a lot of things that we have to do. So that's what's going on in the public arena. And I appreciate all your prayers and support and putting up with me. My brain is half fried. I've written so many letters and text messages and done so many things. I can't remember what I've done. In addition to that, as Paul said, the daily cares of the church, we've been having trouble with the radio station, the computer, and Don and Jim are working on that. And I sent an email to Don, or a text message, and I forgot that I sent it to him. And Jim, because I was talking to Jim, Jim said, well, you sent him a text message. I said, no, I didn't. He said, yes, you did. And I went and looked, and sure enough, I had. So there you go. So pray for this old brain that'll stick together and long enough to take me to heaven one day, okay? Speaking of heaven, this will be the last sermon in the series, so far as I know. You never know, I may change my mind. But we've been covering a lot of territory. And Jim, can you bring that slides up for me? I'd appreciate it. We've been discussing that the first thing that was created was heaven, all right? And there's the first heaven, which is where the birds fly. And there's the second heaven, is where the planets fly. And there's the third heaven, where the cherubim fly. All right, so there's a lot of flying going on in the heavens. So a scripture we've been using, it's still not there. It is. I knew Jim would get it. He's like me. He's getting a little old and a little slow. So Genesis 1:1 from the Message translation. First this, King James says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, all you see and all you don't see. And we've been talking a lot about things that we don't see with our naked eyes, but that are still there. We've been discussing what is heaven, where is heaven, who goes to heaven, what is heaven like, why everyone does not go to heaven. And today we're going to end the series by looking at why you must choose heaven or hell. That's a choice. Everybody's going to make it. I know that people are hoping that's not true, but it is true. Jim found a video for us that I found entertaining. It's a little longer than usual. We usually are 2 minutes long. I think this one's about close to 4 minutes. But I think you will appreciate this, Jim, if you want to start that video up. It's a man on the street interview on men and women.
Do you believe in a heaven?
Yes.
Okay, and what's it like there?
Ooh, I haven't gone that far into thinking about it. I couldn't tell you that.
Who do you think gets to go to heaven?
Everyone, I would say.
What is heaven like? Well, I really don't know exactly what it's like, you know, but in a sense, it is like for each individual. Personal thing for every individual. As far as their life is concerned, as you live, you can make your own heaven.
Surrounded by your glory. In your opinion, how do you get to heaven?
God chooses you, brings you to the light, says, come on for me, I'm taking you up.
In your opinion, who gets to go to heaven?
People that's given their life to Jesus and that's doing right.
Do you believe in a hell?
Not really. I just believe that people that don't get to go to heaven, I really don't know where they'll be.
Do you believe in heaven?
Yes.
Okay. In your opinion, what's it like?
Well, I guess it would be, I don't know, like the Bible says, you know, made of streets of gold. God take care of everybody and everybody be happy.
How do How do you get there?
Well, you better live a pretty good life.
Do you believe in heaven?
Sometimes.
What do you mean by sometimes?
I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's kind of depending on the day I'm having. Sometimes, yeah, I'll believe it. Sometimes I won't.
In your opinion, who gets to go to heaven?
I don't know. Who am I to judge? No idea.
Do you believe in a heaven?
I believe in heaven. Yeah, yes, yeah. I do.
I do.
Yes, I do.
What's it like there?
It's, I don't know.
It's hard to say.
It's a good life. It's, there is no taxes. There is no dollars.
No money.
A lot of beautiful women. A lot of beautiful women.
Oh, thanks.
What's less beautiful than my wife?
Do you believe in an afterlife?
Yes. Yes, and as a matter of fact, it seems to me that reincarnation, although I don't really subscribe to that, but that makes a lot of sense. It's recycling.
Do you believe in a heaven?
Sure.
Oh, you're asking. Can of worms right here.
I wouldn't call it heaven. I believe something out there. Sure.
And what's it like?
What's it like? Maybe, have you ever seen the movie Defending Your Life? It's sort of like a way station as you go on to some other life and where you kind of look back on what you did and see if you've learned or not. But it's not like a heaven.
Do you believe in a hell?
Not really.
I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Well, I think that's probably pretty indicative of most of the people that you know and meet in life along the way. Not a clue. I mean, not a clue about heaven. They don't believe in hell. Well, I mean, why would you want to believe in hell? I mean, that sounds like a bad place to go. And it's been used as a profanity forever and ever. So heaven is for believers. Do believers go to heaven? But here's the issue. You will choose heaven or hell. Everybody's going to make a choice. I've got kind of a lot of scripture to show you this morning, but I believe that you will know why as we go through it. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book, there we go, was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, plural, according to their deeds, plural. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds, plural. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. I think it would be a good idea to know if your name was in the book of life, wouldn't you think? I mean, that's something you probably need. All the metaphors are being fulfilled. Those metaphors, or some of them, are the sheep are separated from the goats. The wheat is separated from the tares. That's weeds, by the way. Life is separated from death. Heaven and earth pass away. We talked about that some last week. And time as we know it is no more. Now, it's important for us to realize as we read that passage of Scripture is that the dead are different from the dead in Christ. There's a difference. The dead, see, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are not dead. You are alive. It says you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but now you've been made alive. And the life that you have is resurrected life that Jesus provides for you when you become, use that a phrase from the scriptures that Jesus used, when you're born again. When the old you passes away and a new you is created, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus, all right? And that's the life you have. Now, the dead are judged at the great white throne judgment according to their deeds. So, the unbeliever, the dead, those who are not born again by the blood of the Lord, of the Lamb, they will be there, and all that they did in life will be brought up to their attention. It's not necessary, but that's what it says will happen. They'll be judged according to their deeds, what they did, good or bad, I would suspect. The books are the deeds of the dead. Okay, got that? The books are for the deeds of the dead. The book of life is for the deeds of Jesus. It's what he did. You know, we say these scriptures so often that we kind of get used to them. You know, for by grace have you been saved through faith, not of yourself, it's not of works or deeds. You know, that God has done it so that when this day comes, this judgment day, this great white throne judgment, God will not judge you according to your deeds and behavior in life. He will judge you about whether or not you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's as simple and as complicated as that. A lot of these people that we saw, I imagine if you asked them if they were believers, they wouldn't be able to answer the question. In fact, you, Camille, asked that question of somebody at the city council, didn't you? You asked them if they were believed or they were born again. What was the question?
He was telling me where he was church or something else. I said, yeah, no, Lord. He goes, I think so. He would
go. Yeah. So he thought so. He might know God. Well, if you got a think so religion, that's a stink so religion. You'll never get into heaven that way. It's something you ought to know. You know, it's pretty easy. If you're going on a trip, you make plans to go. You want to make sure you get to wherever you're going. Tokyo, Moscow, New York City, Florida. I mean, you know where you're going. Well, the most important trip anyone is ever going to make is when they leave this life. You ought to know where you're going and not be hoping so. So on Judgment Day, everyone will fully understand why some go to heaven and why some go to hell. Probably the best known scripture on the planet is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believed in him, what? Would not perish, but have everlasting life. Very few people know John 3:18. It says, he that believes on the Son has life. He that believes not on the Son is condemned already, and the wrath of God abides them. Oh, Brother Morris, that's old religion. You know, we're past that. That's what some of those people believe. You know, you're wrong. If you're an unbeliever, you're in trouble already. You don't have to do anything to get in trouble. You're in deep trouble. There was a famous sermon that was preached that I think Whitfield preached it, I think, or Jonathan Edwards, I can't remember who it was, called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Man, you don't want to be there for that. That's the great white throne judgment. There's no, you know, that's not where we want to be. And you'll find out as we go through this morning, that's not where God wants us to be. So today let's discover some of the reasons that the final separation of men to heaven or hell is their choice, okay? So let's look at that. The first thing I want to talk about is God does not want you to go to hell. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. And let's look at some scripture. Romans 1, 20 through 25. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen. All right? So God can be seen since the beginning of the world. He can be seen, his attributes, his nature, even invisible, being understood through what has been made. So look at this. So that they are without excuse, period. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations. That's the video where you saw a lot of speculation. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over to the lust of their hearts. It didn't say God made them. God gave them. If that's what you want to do, God will let you do it, if that's what you want to do. He gave them over to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Here's another scripture I want you to say. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Well, here's a question. Is God overreacting to sin? Is he just overreacting? Does he need to, cool his jets? Does he need to take a break? Does he need to sit down and rethink this thing? That's pretty serious stuff that we just read. Come on, God, give us a break. Or in the words of Joe Biden, come on, man. Why would you do that? Well, I got a little story I found, and I think it might help you understand. I thought it was very, very good. Imagine you're walking outside of this building and passing a little boy sitting on a curb pulling the legs off of a grasshopper. What would you do? You think that's kind of strange. You might say, son, you need to go home. You might say something or you might not. Now imagine if you walked out of the building and the same little boy were pulling the legs off of a frog. That would be a little bit more disturbing. You say, this boy's got problems. He needs some help. Now imagine if it were a bird. And you would you scold him and go find his parents? He's yanking legs off a bird. What if it were a puppy? Would you be too shocked to tolerate it? It's awful even to imagine. You couldn't help but intervene. Now imagine it was a little baby girl. It would be so reprehensible and tragic that you would risk your own life to protect that baby. But what is the difference in each of these scenarios? The sin is the same, pulling the limbs off. But the only difference is the one sinning against, the one that the sin is against, from the grasshopper to the baby, the more precious and valuable the creature, the more heinous and reprehensible the sin. And the same is true with God. He is the most precious, valuable, beautiful being in the universe. His glory and worth are infinite and eternal. So to sin against an infinite, glorious being is an infinitely heinous offense that is worthy of an infinitely serious punishment. Well, I read that and I thought, you know, that makes sense. Helps me understand things. It's what the sin is being, who's being affected by what's the sin that's being done. And our sin is against God. All sin is against God and against our fellow man. Now, a lot of people say, well, if you're having sex with your girlfriend, and you're not married, well, nobody's getting hurt, you know. Or if you do something and somebody doesn't know about it, nobody's getting hurt. If you want to sleep with a boy and you're a boy, or you want to sleep with a girl and you're a girl, you know, who's harmed by that? It's my life. I can lead it the way I want to. That's the attitude of things today. I can just do whatever I want. It's a crimeless sin. Except that's not true, because the crime is against God himself. It's one of the thou shall not things, shouldn't do. Those behaviors, from pulling the legs off of a frog to the most heinous thing you can think of, is an indication that something's wrong at the core of an individual. You know, they've discovered, and the people who study these things, that people who do heinous crimes, they've discovered that when they were children, they did terrible things. Maybe they had terrible things happen to them. Most people who abused children were abused themselves. So, you know, that sin kind of carries forward, if you will. So people will go to hell because they reject God and embrace sin. The easiest way to reject God is to say, well, I just don't believe it. Come on, God. I mean, there's the earth and there's the sun and there's the waves and there's global warming, you know, and all that stuff. But has anybody seen God? You know, I don't see him. Show me God and I'll believe. Well, the thing that's wrong with that logic is when you reject God, then God will let you do whatever you want to do and suffer the consequences of it. And godless people suffer the consequences of it. And you know, sin has this thing that it gets worse. Pat and I, many years ago, went to a conference. It was called the Institute of Basic Youth Conflicts. And it talked about things. And the guy was saying, if you're dating, and your guy, boy's dating a girl, and at first, you know, they're really just having conversation. They're not, you know, doing anything but going through the bashfulness of youth, bashful about things. But sooner or later, they'll get brave enough to touch hands, and maybe they'll hold hands. And that'll be a thrill to both of them. And so they'll hold hands for a while. But after a while, holding hands will just be normal. They'll greet each other and hold hands. So then after a while, maybe the guy will go to a movie and slip his arm around the girl, you know. And so they're having a more intimate touching. Well, holding hands is normal. Now they're hugging. And it'll progress to kissing. It'll go forward to heavy petting. And all of those things become the thing you do all the time. And then it'll eventually lead to sexual activity. So all sin has that progression to it. It starts small, and then as you keep doing it, it'll move up. That's why I don't like to use this term, but I can't think of a better word. The pinheads, and I saw one of the pinheads yesterday on TV who wants to legalize recreational marijuana. You know, they got it legalized. If you're sick, you can use it. That's a farce that's just used to set the stage. It's holding hands Now we want to go a little further, and we want to make it recreational. That means you can get marijuana anywhere you want. Marijuana, and all of you folks out there who will disagree with me, you have the right to disagree with me, but scientific studies have proven that marijuana is a pathway drug to other drugs because it doesn't satisfy your need for drugs and you move on to other things, legal and illegal drugs. You don't start with crack cocaine. You start with less offensive drugs. And it won't be long. I promise you, if you live long enough, and I hope you don't, if they legalize marijuana, they're going to legalize every other drug. And here's part of the rationale behind that. Well, if we legalize it, we won't have to arrest as many people. We won't need as many jails. And we won't have all of these problems with, you know, guys robbing and stealing to get money to do drugs. They can just go down to the local crack store instead of a drug store and just buy whatever they need. Then it'll be cheaper. So that's the logic behind this. You see where I'm going with this? You know, that if you're devoid of a sense of God, there's no telling what you'll get to. I've told this, I don't think I've ever told you this story, but I've told my wife this story. I went to a very good school in New Orleans, a high school, Holy Cross High School. And those of you who don't like Catholics, don't be so quick to blame, to get on the Catholics' case, all right? They do a lot of good things. They trained me up, and they had two ways of training me. One was book training, the other was beating training. You know, I deserved my beating. They had a grotto. A grotto, by the way, is a thing where they put statues and you go there and burn candles. And they were building one on the campus of Holy Cross, a grotto to Mary. And they decided to let the students build it. And they had these rocks and you put them in there with cement. It was a humongous thing. And if you got detention because you were misbehaving, you got assigned to the grotto duty. I almost single-handedly built that grotto myself. But I learned some things. And when I left home, and I went up to LSU. Now, LSU, back when I went there, was more of a party animal place than it is today, believe it or not. And I was invited to go to a fraternity rush party. I didn't even know what it was. But one of the guys I had met, he was kind of a rich boy, and he had a car and he had money. I had nothing. All I had was my tuition paid by my dad from his hard work. And he invited me to a fraternity rush party. It was at one of the beautiful lakes up there in Baton Rouge. And the guy drove me there, and we went in. What they were doing inside that house, I had never dreamed existed anywhere. It was my first exposure to drugs. Exposure in that I was in the same room with them. And they were, boys and girls were just, you know, off the charts. And I looked around in that room and I said to myself, this is not me. You know, that's not who I am. And I wasn't born again like we've described, today. But I had been trained and exposed to God and exposed to right and wrong. And I knew that wasn't a good place for me to be. And I was there maybe 15, 20 minutes or so. I finally told the guys, I said, man, let's go, man. He said, no, you got to stay because they're going to have interviews and all this stuff. I said, you know, I'm just not interested in this. And I said, are you going to drive me back to the campus or I'm going to walk back? Well, he was gracious enough to drive me back to the campus. So God, the God knowledge that I had, although I wouldn't have understood being born again and washed through the blood and all that training that I got kept me from doing stuff. That's why it's important to raise up a child in the way that they should go. Teach your children from the cradle until after they leave home and make sure they have a good foundation. It'll stay with them. It says if you train up a child in the way they go, when they get old, they will not depart from it. They may run off for a while, but they come back. I'm not talking out of turn. My daughter was here. She would tell you that she we trained her up in the right way, made sure she went to church. She drifted away from it for a while, but she realized she couldn't make it without God. And she came back, and today she's a wonderful Christian woman doing a lot of wonderful things. So people, their behavior is because they've rejected God. That's the problem. It's rejecting God. It's not sin that's the problem. It's the rejection of God that lets you do the things that you want to do. So we try to rationalize hell as unfair. It's too harsh. We fail to see the truth. When you see hell in the scriptures, when you read about it, what you should see is the open arms of God, who's not willing that any should perish. Hell ought to be so frightening that you wouldn't want to go there. You know, if you walked up to the edge of a cliff, and that cliff was several hundred feet down, you would be careful that you didn't fall off the edge. I remember one time Pat and I went on a conference in Colorado, and we had another couple with her. They were older than us. We were in our 30s. And I was driving on a mountain road, and it was narrow. Lady in the back, her name was Laverne, she was having a heart attack. Get away from the edge! Get away from the edge! I'm still on the road. I'm not on the edge. And she was leaning sideways, trying to lean away from the edge of the road. I was just scared we were going to go off the edge. Well, if you faced hell the same way, with the same fear, it'll drive you to God. I didn't get saved because I was in love with Jesus. I got saved because I was scared of going to hell. When that guy who led me to the Lord read John 3:18 to me, and he explained that you don't have to do anything else. You're already on the road to hell in the wrath of God. And I thought, maybe I need to rethink. I just told him, he asked if I wanted to receive Christ in my life. I said, well, let me think about it. Then he read me John 3:18 and said, well, I've done enough thinking. What do I need to do? And I got saved. So that's it. God says in his word that hell is avoidable. Flee from it and come to me. Come to me, all you are. You know, who are burdened down with sin and heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest and give you peace. The invitation is out there for anyone to take it. Camille, the guy you spoke to, that was an invitation. You extended an invitation to him. The Word of God extended an invitation. You know, I don't know. Sometimes when people that you don't know say something like that, you can't get away from it. I don't know that guy. I don't know his status in life. I don't know anything about him. I just saw him for a few moments. But now, he certainly couldn't stand before God and say, well, nobody ever told me anything. And I didn't see it in the trees and the leaves. Well, they heard it from Camille, who got a standing ovation at the council meeting. I love you, Camille. That was so good. I'm so proud of you. So happy to know you. And you go to my church. Isn't that amazing? God orchestrated history in order to put his own son on this earth so that men and women and boys and girls don't have to go to hell. You know, it's like this. Hey, what more could God do than what he's already done? He gave his only begotten son. You know, I can understand if you're living in the middle of a jungle somewhere, you might say, well, nobody ever told me. Well, God will say, well, there's a lot of reasons around here for you to believe in me, and I would have sent somebody there with the gospel. The gospel is in the hands of the church and the hands of individual believers to bring that gospel to the world. How can people hear if someone doesn't tell them? If James Walter Hickman would let me walk out of his house back there on August 8, 1972, without telling him about Jesus, I don't know where I'd be today. Maybe in a sinner's hell. But he spoke it. So we need to tell other people about it so that they will know. Receive him. Accept him. Cling to him. Avoid death in hell. It's avoidable for everyone. To the Antifa people, to the socialists, to the everyone can receive Christ in their life. Don't get mad at me. But you know what we do? We get so angry. angry at the unbeliever that we in effect curse them instead of praying for them and trying to do something to reach them. And we're wrong when we do that. I know what it is. I get frustrated just like everybody else. But frustration and anger does nothing to save the soul of somebody who'll burn in hell. You know, just like if you saw a kid ripping the legs off a baby, you'd intervene. If you saw somebody on the road to hell, you ought to be willing to intervene. Because what's waiting them is worse than that scenario in that little story I read to you. It's our job. God will not just look the other way at wickedness and unbelief. God won't do it. Those who reject God will suffer at his hands. Let me show you scripture. Those who do not know God, and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now, some would read this and say, well, I'm just going to get destroyed. There won't be nothing to it, and that's the end of the story. If that's the only scripture you had, you might make that conclusion, might draw that conclusion. But when you read the other scriptures that I just read, it talks about being thrown into a lake of fire that burns forever and ever. Jesus said, he used the acronym, he said, it'll be like a place where the fire burns and the worm doesn't die. Gehenna, he used that illustration when he talked about it. So, the logic of a Christless mind says this: there must be another way. I mean, that's too cruel. There must be another way. Here's the deal. If there is another way, if there's a secret back door, then Jesus is the biggest fool who ever walked the planet Earth, who went through all he did. We ought to feel sorry for him. Because he went through the cross and all that was there, but there's another way besides him. Jesus asked that question in the garden: is there another way? And the answer is an implied, definite no. There is no other way.
Right.
Now, people can deduce that. You can think that. You can hope that. But you'd be dead wrong. You'd be wrong. Nobody likes to hear somebody say that you're wrong. I had somebody just recently very mad at me because I told them they were wrong about something. They were. It wasn't this topic. It was another topic. And they were wrong. They were just wrong. And I had just heard enough, and so I intervened and said, you're wrong. Boy, they really didn't like it. They just didn't like it. But they were. Scripturally, they were trying to talk about something scripturally, and it made a case, and they were wrong. And sometimes you have a responsibility to tell people if they're wrong. I'm not talking about minuscule stuff. I'm talking about this was a serious conversation. There is no other way. There is no back door into heaven. There's nothing that goes around the cross. If it's true, then Jesus died for nothing. He's the laughing stock of heaven, if that were true. And it's not true. Why do you think Jesus said, there's only one way? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. You think he was kidding? He's about to die a cruel death on Calvary's tree. He was about to submit himself to death. He was about to submit himself to the Roman government. He was about to submit himself to a religion gone crazy, the Jewish religion at the time. And he did that because he knew he was the only way. And he knew that it would be so easy for anybody to escape hell's gates if they would just believe in what he did and receive him into their life. It's as simple as that. People in hell would not be happy if they went to heaven. Go read the book, The Case for Christ, by Lee Strobel's. He addresses that very issue. That a person who hates God here would not be happy in heaven because they have no relationship with him. We think that Well, if they saw hell, they would say, oh, I don't want to be here. I want to be to heaven. No, they would curse God. Why did you create this place? Why am I here? Why are you allowing me to suffer? And their anger and their bitterness would magnify in hell itself. If you popped them out and put them in heaven, you know what they'd do? They'd contaminate heaven with their lies and their hatred and their unbelief. And that's not going to happen. The rich man and Lazarus, remember that? There's a great gulf between us, and you can't cross over. Well, would you at least send somebody to tell my brothers so they won't end up in this place? And they said they wouldn't believe and change their mind if somebody came back from the dead. And that's exactly true today. I don't believe that Jesus came back from the dead. Well, if you don't believe he came back from the dead, you will die and end up in a sinner's hell. And God doesn't want you to go there. Okay, that's enough of hell. Let's get on to heaven. You know, there's more scripture. I could go on and on with scripture about hell. I mean, there's so much of it. There's so much more about hell in the Bible than there is about heaven. And I know that firsthand. Second thing I want to say is God inscribed your name in the book of life. Revelation 3, 5, and 6. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. And I will not erase his name from the book of life. And I will not erase his name from the book of life. Am I stuck somewhere? Let me move on. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what Pastor St. Angelo is saying to the church. And the Spirit of God is saying to the church. God always wanted to be with you. And I've told you this before. What's his motivation? He wants to be with you. He's got nothing else to do? Evidently not. I mean, he wants to be with you. Look at Adam and Eve, the first place you see that. Adam and Eve sin. And God's running around. Adam, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? And he says, oh, I'm hiding. So why are you hiding? Well, because I've done something I shouldn't do. I'm naked. He said, well, who in the world told you that? So what is God doing? God is reaching out to Adam, reaching out to explaining things to him. And that's what the Word of God is explaining things to us as we read it and we see it and we understand it. God always wanted to be with you. And when he entered your name in the book of life, it is, was, and will always be settled. It's written in the indelible blood of the Lamb. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, that's just my opinion, but I think I got a pretty good opinion on that. What else would he use? Disappearing ink? I think he'd put it in the blood of the Lamb because it lasts for all eternity. It'll never fade. It'll never disappear. Jesus entered into a new covenant contract with our Father just for you. The contract, the old covenant was made between God and Abraham. The new covenant was made between God and his Son. And that's an unbreakable covenant that cannot be tainted or destroyed. Jesus was judged so that you won't have to be judged. That's the final judgment. You don't have to worry about, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about the great white throne judgment. It's over. It's not for you. The dead will be judged there. The dead in Christ have been judged already because Christ was judged for us. Died so that you will never die. The second death has no power over a believer. You better want to go to heaven once you get born again because you're going to go there. Yeah, you can say, well, I changed my mind. And God says, oh, no, you're not. We have a covenant relationship, and that covenant cannot be broken. You've been born again, not of the corruptible seed of man, but the incorruptible Word of God. God said it, that settles it. Amen. Come on now. Get up, hang on a chandelier. Do like your son-in-law was doing, George, hanging off the rafters and having a good time. at the wedding. I saw that picture of him. He was so excited about being married. Man, we ought to get so excited about being saved. Jesus was resurrected, so you will be resurrected for all eternity. I don't know when, and I don't know how, but I know it's happening. It's been said. Everything Jesus said he would do, he did or will do. The new covenant contract of confession seals your faith. Now listen to this. In Romans 10:9, it says, if you will confess or agree with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. All right? Jesus confessed you before our Father. He agreed with his Father that you were born again, that you belong to him. He confessed your name before the Father. That is a covenant contract of confession that cannot be changed. The new covenant is notarized and witnessed by the angels. And by the way, let me intercede here. These angels here, I believe it's talking about ministers. I think it's ultimately talking about the church. It gives me the ability and the power and the authority to tell you what I'm telling you today. That if you're born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, you will enter into heaven's gates and hell's stench will never touch your nostrils. The flames will never reach you because you've been born again, saved from the wrath to come. Come on, I'm telling you, this is the best news we ever heard. I can see you jumping around on that YouTube. I can see through the camera. Somebody's getting it. I wish I could. When you are an overcomer in Christ, he who overcomes, you know, now that's been misread. This is from the Church of Sardis where it was written. It says, well, if you can overcome something, then you'll do it. No, we are overcomers in Christ Jesus. Go read Romans chapter 8 where it says, in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who is Christ who loved us. We are overcomers. What should separate us from the love of God? So tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword or peril? He said, no, we're like sheep all day long sent to the slaughter. But we are overwhelmingly conquerors through Christ who saved us. No matter how hard this life may be, the blood of Jesus, the contract between you and Jesus, the confession of you to Jesus that you believe in him, the confession of Jesus to the Father that you belong to him will never be broken. Amen. This world cannot contaminate you and steal the life that God has given to you. You are amazing before God. You are amazing before God. You're dressed in royal robes of righteousness, never to be condemned. Never to be condemned. Never to be condemned. When God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Christ in you. He doesn't see a sinner saved by grace. He sees you redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Your sins are put as far away as the east is from the west. And the only thing you had to do to receive that covenant relationship is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Your car won't run off the mountain track. You won't fall off the cliff. You never have to worry about it. The only time you ought to be thinking about hell is when you think about somebody you love or somebody you care about who will end up there if they don't turn their life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. My favorite, well, I can't say that. It's not my favorite. They're all my favorite. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Nothing condemns you. That's why we're not under the law. The law condemns. But we're not under the law. When you come into grace, the law has no power over you. Paul talked about death's sting. He said the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Why? Because the law condemns us. Sinners are condemned under the law because they break the law. Every man's broken the law. You break one commandment, you've broken them all. That's what the scriptures say. But that's why we're not under the law. And I have a lot of good friends that I talk to. And say, you mean that tell me I can do everything I want to do? If you believe that, you need to go get your head examined. What God does, He gives us power over the law. We are now over the law. The law is not, has no power over us. Do we sin? Of course we do. But our sin is not held to our account. Sin is not registered in the ledgers or the books that send people to hell. That will be read at the great white throne judgment. The only ledger that God has with you is the ledger of the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name is written in there. And if you were to go up to God at the great judgment, white judgment seat, and you hear somebody get condemned for something they did, and you ran up to them and said, excuse me. You know, I did that exact same thing. And God would say, I don't remember that. And our theologians say, well, God can remember everything. He also has the ability to forget everything. And He can forget your sins forever and ever because of what His Son, our Savior, did for us. So hell is escapable. Heaven is attainable. Reject Jesus and you gain hell. Receive Jesus and you receive heaven. Amen?
Amen?
So that's the good news about heaven. I don't know that we understand it all, but we're on the right track. Heaven or hell is a choice made by man. Choose hell, you will become more evil as hatred for God grows in you for all eternity. Choose heaven and you will gain glory for all eternity as the love of God for you grows for all eternity. Those in hell will get worse. Those in heaven will get greater every day. Let's go to heaven. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for the Christ who came and rescued us. Thank You for heaven's glory that awaits those who believe. Lord, help us to proclaim the truth about Jesus Christ to those who are perishing, that they might receive Him and might receive the glory that we've received in Christ Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be caring. Help us to be loving. Help us be willing to share the gospel so that people will know that Jesus is Lord and will escape the perils of hell. We thank You for Your word, Lord. Thank You for the study we've had these weeks. Ask You to let the truth of heaven permeate us in such a way that it gives us great joy and that it spurs us to tell the unbelievers about You. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be good disciples and good caretakers of the gospel and to share it. This is our prayer in Jesus' wonderful name. And all the kids said,
amen,
amen, amen. Let's stand. Next week, it will be Mother's Day, God willing. It's the new addition to the B&E people. You know, C&E. People go to church on Christmas and Easter. Now they go to Christmas, Easter, and M for Mother's Day. So a lot of people go to church with their mothers on Mother's Day, which is a good thing. So I hope you'll be here next week, and we'll talk about Mother's Day. But with that said and done, you're dismissed in the name of the Lord. God bless you. No, we're not having communion today for several reasons. One is Miss Sherry, who does that for us, is not here. She's not well, and so she couldn't come, so we just postponed it a week, and we'll do it next week. So. Next week. Happy Mother's Day and Grandma. We're going to include Grandma in that. So that'll be next week. All right. You're dismissed. If you have a need for prayer, something I can help you with, I'm up here. I'll be glad to do it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Whew. I'm preaching myself happy.